The iSpot is the podcast about polar science and the people.
We talked to scientists who went on board Polarstern, the German research icebreaker, for the biggest research expedition in the Arctic.
Hello and welcome to the iSpot, the podcast about polar science and the people, which is also the official podcast for the Year of Polar Prediction. My name is Kirstin Werner. And with me today is
Sara Pasqualetto. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Sara. We are meeting today from our homes.
Yeah, as it's been for the last three times we recorded something.
So today is actually the 30th of April. And what we have here today for you is something very special. It's a new bonus episode. And it's with a person, who is the person when it comes to mosaic.
It's Markus Rex.
He's the expedition leader. He is head of mosaic.
He's the embodiment.
He's also a professor in atmospheric physics at the University of Potsdam. But mainly he is the coordinator of the biggest Arctic expedition ever.
Yes.
So we were lucky to speak with Markus Rex in February. Actually, it was on 18th February 2020, when the world was still in order, so to say.
Yes,
so
a lifetime ago.
We were really lucky that in February, just before traveling was reduced, Markus was attending the Job Science Workshop, which took place at the Alfred Wegener Institute in Bremerhaven here in Germany. And we were really lucky to catch him for a short interview, which you will hear. He mainly speaks about his experience on Leg 1. So he, in this interview, we were asking him about his experience in the Arctic during polar night. And what he brought with him from the Arctic.
We were sitting very cozy in Kirstin's office.
Exactly.
And we were three in a room, which now sounds like the craziest thing you can do to be a rebel.
Impossible. Yeah, just sitting around a table with no mask, nothing, just a microphone on the table. Yeah. I mean, things have changed now, and before we actually start with the interview with Markus, we wanted to give you an update. Today is the 30th of April. So, Sarah, where are we now in terms of mosaic?
So, things had to change a little bit from planned, of course, due to the ongoing pandemic. This didn't really affect the work that has been done on ice, but of course the logistic was very much affected by this, because of course exchanges of people, supplies and everything had to start from somewhere. And as we know now, there are currently borders closed, and it's much more difficult to actually move around, and it's of course affecting mosaic as well. So the way that the next leg should have gone already in April, of course, had to change because they couldn't fly there. And they had to find a different way, basically, to get people there.
Different things actually happened that now had to be changed due to the pandemic. So one thing actually was there should have been an aircraft campaign, which also was very important actually for the Year of Polar Prediction. And we will have another episode later on this one, on the Job targeted observing period. So we're going to talk about this on another episode. So these aircraft campaigns had to be canceled because it was not possible to start them from Svalbard because of Svalbard basically shut down. And then also the exchange from Leg 3, people who are there on board Polarstern right now, to Leg 4 had to be changed entirely. So the idea was actually to go by plane, also starting from Svalbard, go by plane to Polarstern. So, but before we are telling you what's going to happen now, because it has been published on Friday, so we can talk about this now, a week later. I just wanted to give a brief update about what's going on with Mosaic in general. Yeah. So it's now, I mean, it's Polar Day now. So they have sunlight basically.
The whole time.
I mean, the whole day, right? So they will have probably have issues going to bed at some point.
Probably, yes.
But as far as I remember, they have good curtains on board Polarstern. Yeah, I remember.
You can always
cover
your eyes also with a patch or something.
Yeah, that would be another recommendation, you know, for the next leg.
We're disseminating suggestions that are pearls, really, for the upcomers.
Exactly. Hands-on suggestion. So leg 4 or leg 5, if you hear us, maybe take your, what is it called? A sleep mask?
Yeah, sleeping mask.
So not only a mouth, nose mask, but also a sleeping mask.
Yes.
Bring it with you.
You will thank us.
Yes. I listened to the Arctic Drift podcast this morning again. It's a German podcast, the official Mosaic podcast. And so one thing actually what happened when leg 3 arrived on the ice floe, the ice floe was pretty stable by the time. But then it somehow changed to having more ice dynamics, so to say. So many leads would open, ridges would pile up, like ice ridges. And that made the work on the floe a little bit difficult. And also Stephanie Arndt, who sends regularly emails to us, wrote about that when they're doing their work, they really have to hike across the ice ridges nowadays with their instruments.
Yeah.
So it's a bit difficult, but also I think adventurous.
Of course,
right?
It's not just a plain surface. You have to actually find your way on the ice floe.
Yeah, and then the whole ice camp moved further south into Atlantic waters, and these waters are much more saline and warm. So due to that, also the ice flow is currently a little bit more unstable. And then also on top of that, we had, I think 2 weeks ago now, strong warm air intrusion into the Arctic, reaching Polarstern. So that made, they had temperatures around zero, which, I mean, that was a strong temperature difference. So they must have felt like in the tropics.
Exactly. It was like a nice day of summer for that of that Sunday.
I mean, it's interesting, but it's also, of course, affecting the stability of the ice flow.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, it wasn't clear because of the situation and the shutdowns of the countries and the closed borders, but now they have a plan, and I think that plan sounds really good.
Yes, exactly. So the plan now is to, so two research vessels will leave from Bremerhaven, actually, with the Sonne, and I don't remember the other one.
Maria S. Merian.
Yeah, they will leave after the people that will go have quarantined for 2 weeks in Bremerhaven. And I've seen actually the first tweet.
From tomorrow on.
Yeah, I saw the first tweet of a person leaving Seattle to reach Bremerhaven for the quarantine period just today or late yesterday. So this is starting. And after these 2 weeks of quarantine, the two research vessels will leave direction Svalbard, where they will meet Polarstern, actually. So the plan now involves that Polarstern leaves its current location in the ice floe and will meet halfway the two research vessels, which will bring the new people and will bring the people from leg 3 back home directly to Bremerhaven.
So Polarstern, they have leg 3 has to pack everything, parts of the instruments also. I mean, some of them will stay and also doing autonomous measurements. But a lot will probably go on board Polarstern, while Leg 3 is then leaving around mid-May. Probably that will be really sad to leave the ice floe, right? Because I think it's like their home. They are home now.
Yeah. Mosaic stayed there in that location. I mean, geographically not that location, but on that ice floe for quite some months now. It's been 7 months already. It's a huge step, and I think it was also fruit of some very thoughtful reason to actually move Podaston from the actual location.
Yeah, that had to be considered. I mean, they had many different options, but this one turned out to be the best one. Yes, and so this is where we leave you now. Enjoy this interview with Markus. I just wanted to mention, we are having an email address. It's Sarah, do you remember what the email address is?
I do remember the email address. It's polarprediction@gmail.com.
Yes, so if you have any comments, any thoughts, we would be happy to read those. It would be really fantastic to see what you're thinking about this. And maybe also you have questions to one of the next guests of this ice pod. So just send an email, let us know. You can also send us messages, of course, via the social media accounts.
Yes, @PolarPrediction on Twitter and Instagram.
So, yeah, with that, I would say,
enjoy this episode.
Okay, so hello and welcome again to the Ice Pod, the podcast about polar science and the people, and the official podcast of the Year of Polar Prediction.
Yes.
Today we are not in the studio of Radio Weser TV, but in my office at the Alfred Wegener Institute, Building F.
We are on the ground.
Yeah.
I can see.
And we have a very special guest with us today.
The guest we can have on this podcast, I think.
Exactly. So it's Markus Rex.
Yeah, hello. Beautiful office, by the way.
Yeah, it's the most favorite office I ever had, I think. Yeah.
Very cozy.
Yeah, so Markus is here in Bremerhaven just yesterday and today. He came here for the Yob Science Workshop. Mm-hmm. We had a really nice evening reception yesterday, and now he found some time before he has to go and leave again because he is really busy.
Yeah, that's yes. True. That's true.
So Markus, you came back from Lake One on the early days of January.
That's correct. 3rd of January, we made it back to Tromsø after we had to wait for a storm system in the Barents Sea in the ice for some time. We had hoped that we perhaps would be home for New Year's Eve. That didn't work out because of that storm, and then we made it until the 3rd of January.
And before that, you have been on board for 3 months.
Yeah, more than that, since 20th of September, so 3.5 months roughly.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, we had an interview with you for the Polar Predict News, the newsletter before, so I was asking you then, can you sleep very well? So can you sleep right now, or are you really something keeping you awake?
It's pretty good. Even if I have a really high stress level, my sleep is not affected. So I sleep very well. And I think that's important. Otherwise, sooner or later, I would probably break down, I guess.
I'm jealous here because I cannot sleep very well these days. But this is good. So now you're coming, you came back and you're going back again?
From early April on, I stay on Polarstern again for the next phase.
So how is your family doing with that?
They are glad that I'm back now. I just made it for the birthday of my younger son, 5th of January, so I was glad that I made it for that date. And I have missed 2 Christmases home now in a row, so we are looking forward to the next one, which we will celebrate together. And they understand what I do, why it is important and relevant, and that makes it much easier for them.
And they see their father on TV.
On the news.
Yeah. Perhaps that also helps.
So what What was the biggest challenge going into the ice, finding this ice flow, having all this darkness around you?
Yeah, we had a number of challenges. I think in the initial phase, the largest challenge really was to find a piece of ice that is stable enough to support the expedition for one full year. The ice after the really warm summer in 2019 was thin and eroded and not very stable. And therefore, we looked for the most stable piece of ice as our logistic hub. And we found it, ice flow, which is characteristic for the modern Arctic. Most of the ice flow is thin, but it has that stable 1 by 2 kilometer area in the middle, which we call the fortress. It is not as strong as we had hoped. It broke in the meantime a couple of times, but it has not been completely destroyed and broke into little pieces like many other pieces of the ice.
But it's becoming stronger now when the ice is freezing up, or?
That's true. The ice is now getting thicker, and overall the ice dynamic got a little weaker. We still have formation of cracks and pressure ridges every once in a while, but not as frequent as we had it during the initial phase of the expedition.
So ice dynamic, you mean changes within the ice flow?
That's correct. Motion in the ice, which can lead to shears, and parts of our little research city that we have set up next to Polarstern drift away, and the map of our research city then changes. The power lines are destroyed. Pressure ridges can form if the ice pressure gets really high. Then we get the formation of high pressure ridges, which can bury our power lines and instruments, and all these things affect us on a daily basis nearly.
So that happened quite often.
Right? We had only a few days with without any events where we just followed our regular measurement schedule, or the other days were characterized by something that we had to respond to: polar bear visits, pressure ridge formations or cracks in the ice or things like that.
So you wake up in the morning always turning your hands on your head. Oh my God, what happened overnight?
Yeah, that happens. There were so many nights when the officer on the bridge, there's always an officer on watch on the bridge, of course, called me in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. I think there's a crack going right through Med City. You better want to rescue some of your instruments and do something about it. And that happened quite often.
Yeah. Oh my God. So what was the biggest surprise of this first leg?
I don't think we really had big surprises. We expected thin and unstable ice. Of course, it's a modern Arctic. We knew that it is no longer as stable as it used to be a couple of decades ago. I was surprised that we had so many polar bear visits. We expected to have polar bears passing by, but we had many, like 9 individual bear visits during phase one, which is quite a lot. And I think one reason for that is that our vessel is the only bright spot in the Arctic. Any polar bear at the horizon will see it, and they'll probably want to find out what that is and just go and visit us. And therefore, I think all the polar bears in that wide area, they all ran towards Polarstern to destroy our instruments.
Yeah. So how did you cope with the night, with the polar night?
The polar night actually is quite stimulating. It's not depressing. If you work in that fantastic out-of-the-world landscape there on the ice, the deeply frozen sea ice with all the ice sculptures that form from ice pressure and wind, and you see that in the little light sphere generated by the flashlight from your own, that is quite stimulating. It is not depressing at all. It is a fantastic experience, and I think many people enjoyed it and will keep that memory forever.
Yeah, I think so.
That's true. Mm. I'm quite jealous that we are here. We had just to imagine that. Did you have one moment that you would consider the best moment during leg one, when it was especially, I don't know, either surprising or very rewarding?
I think there were many fantastic moments. The one single moment which I remember very well was when pretty much everything was set up, things were going, measurements in full swing, research camp in full operation, and I had my first moment of some relaxed and free time and went on a long skiing trip out of the Central Observatory into the darkness, and skiing through the complete dark landscape there with the pressure ridges and the black flat areas between the pressure ridges. That was quite nice. It was fantastic. It was a night with full moon, so the pressure ridges were still visible, and the shadows of these ridges generated these black patches of flat ice in between, and with the moon and up in the sky, it just was beautiful, and I enjoyed that trip a lot.
Have you been on your own or with a group? You always go with a group, I guess, right?
Yeah, there I was out to one of the cities together with a group, and there were people at that city, and then from that city I just head out into the darkness for some distance alone that was safe in that area.
Yeah, okay. And you're not involved in any measurements yourself, right? You're really coordinating that everything works fine on the cities.
Yeah,
on board.
Of course, I do have my own team on board. It's my background is atmospheric physics, but it would be really bad if there would be a bias in how important we think the measurements are. If people get the notion, okay, our cruise leader just always gives all the resources to one team, the atmospheric team, because it's my background. So I really let my team do the work for the atmospheric measurements mostly, and otherwise I don't see myself as part of any of the five major teams: atmosphere, sea ice, ocean, ecosystem, and biogeochemistry.
But of course, you have a mosaic jacket, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Without any team logo.
All team jacket.
Yeah. Okay. We have special jackets without team logos, so I don't have a team logo on mine.
Yeah, there is a jacket gate going on.
Yeah.
Really?
We have some issue with the jackets here on the podcast. You know?
Okay, so I haven't heard about the jacket gate.
We have to ask anyone which team jacket they choose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, on purpose, I did not go for the atmospheric logo because I don't really see myself as part of the atmospheric team.
But you're following up the data once it's available, right?
Of course, from all the teams, but of course, mostly from the atmospheric team, because that is where my research interest really is. And it's exciting to see the data coming in now. The data streams that we can see already now is overwhelming. So many measurements that we have never been able to carry out in the Central Arctic, particularly not in winter. And now we have a complete budget of the surface energy. We get the structure of the planetary boundary layer, the lowermost few hundred meters of the atmosphere. All these things, it's just exciting to look at it.
Was there something already you can see from this data, like as a surprise, something that really...
We just brought the hard disk with the data back in early January together with our Dranitzin supply crews. And therefore, we just started to look into the data, and exciting scientific news. It's really a good policy to first publish them in scientific papers, and after they have been reviewed and we know they are robust and other scientists have checked that, then we can talk about that.
Yeah. So I hope to talk to you, Markus, again in the ice pod at some point.
We'll make that happen sooner or later.
After leg six, when you're back and the cruise is back, Polarstern is back in the harbor. So, thank you very much.
And we will talk about polar sun maybe next time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to go back and see our research camp in daylight. I've never seen it in daylight, so I don't even know how it looks like in daylight. We have some artist illustration of how it probably looks like in light, so the artist has added some light, and we'll check whether this is true.
Yeah, so when you go back on leg four, there will be sun all day?
When I get back in early April to Polarstern, the sun will still set for a few days, but only very low, very close to the horizon, and therefore it will be daylight.
So people
24
will
hours.
Have lots of hormones, you know, adrenaline. I once stayed in Tromsø for the summer, and I was like you know, excited all night. So that will probably happen.
That will be the time where it will be difficult to get enough sleep, because after a long day of work, you still see the bright sunlight outside, and it's just so tempting to go for another skiing trip rather than going to bed. And it's always hard to get sleep in polar summer.
Yeah, true. Yeah, exactly. Okay, Markus, thank you very much for this nice interview.
Thank you so very much. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yes. And
safe trip.
Thanks.
Yep. Yes, and keep us updated. We are following.
Okay.
On the follow.mosaic-expedition.org
That's correct.
App and on Twitter
and Instagram.
And we are retweeting, reposting on our at Polar Prediction.
Yeah, and the Arctic Drift.
And the Arctic Drift, the podcast, the official Mosaic podcast.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Talk to you next time.
The iSpot is produced by the Year of Polar Prediction International Coordination Office.
With the technical support of Radio Weser TV.
As well as the support by the communication team of Mosaic and the Alfred Wegener Institute.
Editorial responsibility is with
Kirstin Werner and
Sara Pascoletto.
Our theme music is composed by Kevin MacLeod, available on incompetech.com.
For any questions, please contact us at polarprediction@gmail.com.